You for your word today, Lord. Open our ears now and take away our distractions and speak to us personally. We know we're all here by divine appointment. So make this message personal and touch our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the book of James, you know, I was thinking as we were reading this, is anyone among you sick? And probably a week or two ago, everybody could have probably raised their hand. Relate to the message. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms. In the book of James, we see much covering the tongue, our mouth, our speech. God gave us this gift to talk, to communicate. And it's a blessing to be able to speak, to communicate through sounds, to talk. However, we know that our tongue, our mouth, our speech can be used for good or for evil. We're free to use it any way we want. The same mouth, yours and mine, can be used for anything. Look at James chapter 3, verse 9. James chapter 3, verse 9. Speaking of the mouth, the tongue. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Wow, the same mouth. James 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, be slow to speak. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Once it's released from your mouth, you can't take it back. Isn't that awful? You can't erase it. It's out there. You said it. See, the mouth, our speech, can be used for good or evil. As we read here, we can bless or curse with it. Today, the good news, we cover the good use of our mouth, our speech. As Christians, this is the way we ought to be. Two wonderful things we see in verse 13. Two wonderful actions we can use our mouth for. Prayer and praise. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? Let him sing psalms. But I would encourage you, wait till we're done with the message. But, you know, you can, if you're cheerful, you can sing songs. And actually, they're both sort of prayer. But we see two extremes in life. We see suffering and being cheerful. And you know what? We go through them both. Now, when cheerful things are going on in our life, when everything is well, isn't it easy to praise the Lord with your mouth? Oh, if you came in here this morning and everything's in order, you couldn't wait to just worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. But if you were a bad girl and a bad boy, or walking with the Lord, it's kind of a guilt feeling. You know, we see these two extremes in life. And if you're suffering and hurting, it's probably hard sometimes to even open up your mouth and say, praise the Lord, because you're hurting so much. But God has a remedy for suffering. You see, when suffering, it's sometimes easier to grumble and complain and charge God foolishly. Did you ever catch yourself grumbling and complaining, say, what am I doing? Always use your mouth to bless God and not to curse, whether things are good or bad. Bless God with your mouth. Just thank God you have a mouth to praise Him with. Well, it says, if any among you are suffering, let him pray. So, if you're suffering today, deep affliction, hurt, the instruction is to pray. Sometimes when we're suffering, we don't know what to do, who to go to. We've run out of resource. What next? I'm suffering. Well, verse 13 is pretty clear. If you're suffering, let him pray. That includes her also, him and her, pray. Our instruction is to pray, to communicate with God. Approach God with your petitions. Go before God with your petitions and acknowledge he is your help. So you don't have to go through it alone. Now, when we don't pray and we've run out of resource, we feel we're alone. And God says, I don't want you to be alone. Pray. Keep talking to me. In your car, wherever you are, keep talking. In suffering, be in prayer seeking God. God, as the psalmist wrote, God is your very present help in time of trouble. And he's right there. He is your strength. He's your help. Pray. You say, but I've prayed. Well, then don't stop. Prayer isn't one prayer and then you're done. Okay, I handed it over to God, I'm done. No. Keep praying continually. He's your father. He loves you. You're his child. He wants to help you. He wants you to keep your mind on him. So keep praying. Keep talking to him. You know how when you're hurting, you talk to someone, you've been holding it inside, and they say, and then all of a sudden you burst forth in tears, and they say, go ahead, let it out. And you just couldn't wait to have someone's ear and let it out and start talking. That's what God wants you to do. And then you start talking, and you can't stop. And God says, come on, talk to me. Pray. It's communication. He's your help. And you know what? He's all powerful. See, he's the one that can do something about it. You've probably worn out the person that you've been laying it on and they can't help you at all. Well, God can. He says, so pray, talk to me. He's, you know, God is the worker of miracles. Anybody here ever had a miracle in their life? I have. He's a worker of miracles. He's your place of refuge and comfort. So if you're suffering, pray. Talk to the Lord. Now, is anyone cheerful? We have a lot of cheerful people here today. Then let him sing psalms. In other words, praise the Lord. They would take the psalms and sing them. We sing a lot of them here. Whether you know it or not, a lot of the songs are from the songs from the psalms. And so it says, sing psalms. If you're cheerful. But you know what? We're to sing psalms and praise the Lord all the time. Praise him. In both cases, what it is it's keeping your focus on God. Suffering, God's your help. Keep praying. Keep talking to God. Focus. Keep your mind on him, not on yourself or the circumstances. If things are great and you're cheerful, don't think it was you that did it or brought the victory or that you don't need God anymore. Praise the Lord. Don't forget God. In both cases, keep your mouth speaking of the Lord. Now, thank God that we can pray and we can praise. In or out of suffering. And that we can communicate with God. Now, you'll find this as you're suffering oftentimes and you start praying, the prayer and helps the sorrow turn to cheerfulness because you're relieved and you know God's got it. And all of a sudden you feel better and things haven't changed at all, but you know God's got it. Psalm 34, if you would like to turn there, and we'll read a few things out of the Psalms. Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, it says at all times. I'm going to bless the Lord and honor the Lord at all times. It's not like, hey, today's a good day to bless the Lord. No, every day is a good day to bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Just reading it lifts you up. Get your mind on the Lord. So, we pray when in sorrow, when we praise the Lord, when we're cheerful, and we can actually do it at all times. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. See, today we've got the message on getting our mouth in order after reading about all these things in James. Now, today we're going to leave here with our mouth in order now and our speech correct. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. You notice these words always, and they're just words that are continual. It's not when it's just good. I will rejoice in the Lord always. You can say, how can I rejoice? I'm going through this horrible thing. It doesn't say rejoice in the circumstances. It says rejoice in the Lord. Hey, you could be going through horrible circumstances and rejoice in the Lord because he's your help. You know, we're not sick people where, hey, man, it's really bad in life. Let's rejoice. No, I can't rejoice in the circumstances. I'm hurting in the circumstances. But I can always rejoice in the Lord. Always. Be anxious for nothing. Well, if I don't get anxious or worried, what am I going to do with all my time? Well, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray. Don't be anxious. When we focus on the circumstances and the sorrow or the trials, we get anxious. Well, he says, don't be anxious for nothing, but instead pray about everything. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what's going to happen, verse 7? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you ever enter into that peace in the midst of horrible circumstances and you can't understand why you're so peaceful and other people think you're crazy? And they'll say, well, you don't really understand the situation. Well, yeah, I do. They can misinterpret it that you don't care. But that's what we're told to do. And you'll enter the peace which surpasses all understanding because it's peace of God, and it's going to guard your hearts and minds. So as instead of being anxious, you rejoice in the Lord and you pray and you put it in God's hands, you're going to have that peace instead of turmoil. So pray to God. Pray to God. Now, there's one key word here, verse 6, with thanksgiving. That's the key. It's hard to pray with thanksgiving when in trials. Because we're thinking of the horrible situation. But if we really have faith in God, we know that he hears our prayer, he answers our prayer, so we can pray with thanksgiving. Because we know he's going to answer. When we just pray, we can feel at times like our prayers aren't going anywhere. But we really put ourselves on the line when we pray with thanksgiving. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Because what we're saying is, you heard me and I know you're going to work. When you just pray, oh God, help me out of this situation, tomorrow you'll be in the same situation and pray the same prayer. But when you pray with thanksgiving, your heart will be at peace because you just know by faith it's in God's hands and you're just waiting for the answer. Now, the answer isn't always going to be your answer, but it'll be God's answer. But praying with thanksgiving, once you condition yourself to do that, and not only with your words, but in your heart, you just thank God, you know he's going to work, then you're really having faith. God is going to work. God honors our faith. So acknowledge that God hears and he will answer our prayer and he will answer it according to his will, which is best. See, that's best. We don't know best. We think we do, but God does. And so we pray with thanksgiving, Lord, for what you're going to do. You know, oftentimes when we're in sorrow and trouble and trials and difficulties, we feel like we want to do something about it. And people even get on you and say, well, what are you doing about it? Well, you know, you feel I'm pressured that tomorrow I got to wake up and do something about it. I've tried everything. I don't know what else I'm going to do, but I've got to do something about it. And what happens when we do that? We get impatient. Because we feel, and the devil will get in your mind and say, well, why aren't you doing anything about it? We need to know this, that prayer is doing something about it. You know that prayer is action? It's more powerful than any other action you can perform. Prayer. Because it brings God and all his power into the situation. So we pray with thanksgiving, knowing that, hey, I'm doing something about it. I'm praying. And God's going to work. And when it's time to do something, he will tell me. It brings all of God's power into the situation. Isn't that wonderful? God's now in it with you. You said, God, you know, when you read the Old Testament, how the kings prayed and they asked God for, you know, to bring them victory in these wars and all, they trusted in God and he brought them victory. Sometimes he used them to go out and get it. Sometimes he said, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he just worked it out. But it was in God's hands. And we always pray for God's will to be done. So we pray with thanksgiving. We know we're being active because we're praying. But if you're the kind of person that prays once and it's in God's hands and that's it, well, then you're not really praying. Praying is continually every day. Yeah, but doesn't God get tired of hearing me pray about the same thing? No, he wants you to pray. He says, pray. And then we pray for God's will. Matthew 26, please. Jesus is our example. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And this is when he's in the garden before being betrayed. He took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Jesus experienced sorrow. We just read in James, are you sorrowful? Then what did he say to do? Pray. Jesus was sorrowful. What did he do? Prayed. He was sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and he prayed. He's our example. And he prayed, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, but as you will. So it's okay to pray for healing, for deliverance, for victory, for the thing that, you know, would be laid on your heart to go through the trial, you know, be taken around it. He says, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Let there be another way so I don't have to go through this. Nevertheless, your will be done. See, we have to always say, we can bring our petitions before God and say, this is what I really would like, God. And I'm praying about this and asking you to take care of this and heal this. Nevertheless, your will be done because that's best. So when we pray, we have to pray with thanksgiving and a pray for God's will to be done. And then he came, you know, found the disciples asleep. He says, can you not watch with me? He says, watch and pray. You notice, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In James, we've been talking about temptation and giving into it. The key is to keep your eyes on the Lord. He says, watch and pray. You will be tempted. And he went away a second time and prayed, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. So Jesus is our example. He prayed for deliverance, if there's any other way. Nevertheless, your will be done. And guess what the Father's will was? For him to go through it and go to the cross and pay the price for our sin. What a wonderful result. Aren't you glad the prayer was, nevertheless, your will be done? Many times we pray for things that would not be good. So we have to accept God's will. And when it doesn't come out our way, we can't get all bummed out. We praise the Lord. We give him praise and we pray because he knows what's best. But I don't understand how this could be any good. Did you ever say that? I don't understand how this could be any good. And God said, there you don't see as I see. This is good. Psalm 50, please. Psalm 50, verse 14. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. So thank him, praise him. And then we see the Lord speak, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. He says, in your sorrow, in your trouble, call upon me, and I'm the one that will deliver you. Why? Because then you'll glorify me and not man. And that's what God wants. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me, and not someone else or not some circumstances. So we talk to God. He's our deliverer, our creator. We don't grumble and complain or curse God or question God. We want to praise him, and we want to pray to him. Psalm 51, verse 15. Psalm 51, verse 15. 51, verse 15. This is a great prayer. Do you have a hard time praying and praying out loud and glorifying God out loud? O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. If you have a hard time doing that, God wants you to do it. Just pray this prayer. O Lord, open my lips, open my mouth, and let me show forth your praise and glorify you. That's what God wants us to do. Psalm 63, verse 3. Psalm 63, verse 3 and 4. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. You know, this is the chance we have while we're living to praise the Lord. We better do it now. This is the only time we're going to have lips. I don't know what our heavenly body is like. But now we want to praise the Lord, and I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Psalm 95, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. You know, we just read in James, sing psalms if you're cheerful. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. There it is again. For why? Because the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. You know, people can get so low, they'll say, well, I have nothing to thank the Lord or praise the Lord for. You can get so within yourself. You can get to that point. Well, because he's God and he's great and he's the great King above all gods. Just because he's God, we praise him. Don't think of yourself. We can't be thinking of ourselves always. Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So next week we'll have the ushers, as you come in the door, say, what do you have to thank the Lord for, and what do you have to praise him for? Okay, you can get in, because we're to enter his courts that way. We're not really going to do that, though, so don't stay home. I'm not going next week. But that's the way we're supposed to do it. In our heart is the main thing. We shouldn't come to church all bummed out. They dragged me in here today. God's lucky I showed up. No. It's not that you have to come. Enter his courts with praise, thanksgiving. Happy to be here. Prayer is powerful. You know why? Because our God is powerful. He's powerful. And we are asking for him to help us in our trouble and sorrow. And if it's God's will, he will remove the suffering because he can. But if he has another plan, he'll take us through it. But there is a chance that he'll remove your suffering, that he will heal you. That's what we pray for. But nevertheless, God's will be done. And sometimes he does it another way. So back to our text, verse 13. You're cheerful? Let him sing psalms. We're to sing psalms and praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. And speaking, when we're gathering together, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be cheerful in our heart, singing psalms. When we sing these songs, it should be in a cheerful way, these spiritual songs. See, in life, we will experience sorrow and cheerfulness. Therefore, we will have days of praying and days of singing. And sometimes days of both. Sometimes it goes back and forth all day long, in and out. But see, Paul would do both. He's a great example of praying and praising. In sorrow, having a cheerful heart to the Lord. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse 20. This is when he was seized and put in prison. They brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. He's in trouble for sharing the Lord. And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in stocks. Now, here they are, doing the Lord's work, sharing, exposing evil. And now they're arrested, and then they had their tore off their clothes and were beaten with rods, and then laid many stripes on them and threw them into prison, and they fastened their feet in stocks in the inner prison. That doesn't sound like a good day. What about to you? It sounds like a pretty bad day. And it's all because you're serving the Lord. There's a very good chance many would look up at God and say, why? Why me? You know, why am I thrown into prison? We had a good ministry going out there. Why am I beaten? My clothes torn off and thrown into this dungeon. But what was Paul's attitude? Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What do we just read in James? If you're sorrowful, pray. If you're cheerful, sing. Look what Paul's doing. At midnight, they were praying and they were sorrowful, so they were praying, but they were also singing hymns to God. That's exactly what it says in James. And the prisoners were listening to him. He was praying and singing. That's the perfect place to be. Why? Because he wasn't rejoicing in the circumstances, he's rejoicing in the Lord. He knows that in prison, God is with him, and God had a plan for him. And so at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. So we don't know what he was praying for, probably for strength, or for God's will to be done in all of this. And suddenly there's an earthquake, and his chains are loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do to yourself no harm. We are all here." See, the prisoner's life would be required if the prisoners escaped. Now here's Paul, so in tune with the Lord, the chains are let go. They could have walked out of prison. He sensed, because he was praying, he knew God's will was to be there. His will was to be there. And then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Isn't that great? In your sorrow, in your trouble, in my trouble, in my sorrow, in my circumstances, if I'm praying and praising the Lord, I can be praying and grumbling. Did you know that? But if I'm praying and praising the Lord and thanking him for his will to be done, God will use me and God will use you because other people are watching and listening. And so that's what was happening here. And so the guy immediately says, "Man, you've been talking about Jesus or singing about him. What must I do to be saved? I want some of that." You see? So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. He took them in the same hour of the night, washed their stripes. Immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them out into his house, he set food before them. He rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. His whole household believes. No one wakes up in the morning and says, "God, beat me and put me into the prison tonight because that's where I want to be." We don't do that. We wake up in the morning and say, "Give me a good day." You see, but if you hit sorrow and trouble, it means God has a plan in it, because no one's going to wake up and say, "I want to go minister down in that dungeon to everybody. So guys, then I'm going to raise up a man who will go there." And it was Paul. He was willing to go there and have the right attitude and say, and pray and praise the Lord in his circumstances so that people got saved. And he knew it was God's word because he didn't leave. He went back to prison. And they were amazed he was still there the next day. He knew God wanted me in here. And so when we pray and we praise, we're going to be sensitive to the Lord's will and we're going to be right where he wants us to be. And he uses us in what we would call the most miserable circumstances. And he used Paul. So next verse, verse 14. "Is anyone among you sick? Are you sick today? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Is any among you sick? Then you pray for healing." So here we see prayer for healing. Prayer is powerful. God gives people that gift of healing. Plus, he says, "I heal, and if you're sick, pray." Now, verses 14 to 16, and we'll get into more of that next week, because I don't think we're even going to get into verse 16 today. But It seems that there's also a specific thought here toward someone that was sick because of sin. And I don't want you to go and think, well, you know, sickness is because of sin. No. The reason can be you're sick because of sin, because sin will make you sick. But it doesn't have to be the reason, like in Job's case or Paul's case. But this seems to be that, because he talks about confessing trespasses and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so it seems to be there was someone that was sick due to their sin, but not all the time. But just in verse 14, this holds true for everybody. If you're sick, you pray, you call for the elders of the church, and they will pray over you, anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, we ask God to heal us, but God also tells us, you know, and you could pray that in your home or wherever you are, in your car, pray for your sickness to be healed. When you're sick, you pray and you have the church pray for you. Now, we know that a sick person is not always healed physically. When it says here, let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. But we, in verse 14, we're told what to do. This is what we do. We're not thinking, well, if I do this, I will be healed physically. But we don't know. Nevertheless, the Lord's will be done. But we're just to obey his. Then why do it if I'm not going to be healed? Because you will be healed in some way. You see, the Lord will do something in your life. We obey the Lord because he tells us this is what we do. We do know that a sick person is not always healed, but we do know God always answers prayer and he is able to heal. So we always go first to God. There are people that say, well, I've tried everything else. I've come for prayer. Wrong priorities. We pray first. It might just be God wants to heal you through a miracle and you can pray, praise the Lord and tell everybody about it. But the worst thing is to not pray first and not go to the church and have them pray for you. That's the worst thing we could do. See, we do it because this is what God tells us to do. And many times he heals. Many times he just gives one strength to go through it. And you draw closer to God and you see his power. You know, did you ever say, I could never do that? You see someone else going through something and you hear of something, you say, boy, I could never go through that. I could never do that. Well, you know why? Because God hasn't prepared you to do that yet. But if he has that for you to go through, he will give you that power and that strength. Don't always look ahead and judge what you would be able to do or not be able to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so what we do is pray. And many times God gives you the strength. I've seen many people that say, I never thought I could do that. I never thought I would make it through. And you just say, praise the Lord. You couldn't, but you went to God. And you got through it. And see, God's will be done, whatever way he wants it to do. But we do see praying involved in healing, so we pray. See, Paul was afflicted and not healed. And he went on serving the Lord. And we just read how he praised the Lord, even in suffering. And he continued on to praise the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12. He's our good example. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. So you can identify with Paul if it seems you're going through it rather than being delivered from it. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, this revelation of heaven that he was given here. You read the beginning of this chapter. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. He knows it was from Satan, just like in Job's case. It was from Satan to buffet him, to beat him, you know, to keep him humbled. You know, when you're going through illness and sorrow and hurt and sickness, it's humbling, isn't it? You almost don't want to share it. You feel like you're less of a Christian or something, or you feel humbled that this is happening in my life. He has no problem saying, Satan was allowed to come and beat on me. That's all it is. Lest I be exalted above measure. So God can keep me humble. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. He says, I prayed. Then I prayed again. And then I prayed again that, hey, this would be removed. As we saw in Jesus' case, it's okay to pray for be healing or to be removed from the situation. But nevertheless, the Lord's will be done. He did. But he says, I pray 3 times that it might depart from me. Hey, I just really prayed that it would be gone, this affliction. And God said to him, see, he heard the Lord's voice. That's what's good about prayer and praise. You're in communication with God and you're going to hear his voice. And he heard the Lord speak to him. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, I'm going to teach you a lesson that my grace is so strong. I'm going to get you through every situation, and that's all you need. You don't need the healing. You don't need the healing because my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you're going to learn how you can go through anything, so don't be afraid of anything. I'll take you through everything because for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you are weak, then you are strong. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. I don't know if I would go this far. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, then, come on. I glory in these things because I'm going to be made stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. Paul really knew the Lord to pray like that. Wow. He knew that he would get stronger and stronger in the Lord because he'd go to the Lord. He'd be reliant on the Lord. So he received an answer from the Lord, and it was to be strengthened God by God's grace. And that's why he was able to write in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's how he was able to write that, because he realized, wow, I can just about go through all things with God. Never thought I could do it, but now I can. And it tells us in verse 14, you should have the elders pray over them and anoint you with oil in the name of the, notice, in the name of the Lord. It isn't the oil. It's the faith and obedience to God's word to do this. The oil could represent the Holy Spirit of God. We're not really sure. You know, the gift of healing by the Holy Spirit and his anointing oil upon us. In some way, the oil was used to heal people, but it's not the oil. And we'll see later on, it's the prayer of faith in verse 15. But this is the way God said to do it. It's your point of contact for faith. We anoint you, we do that at the church. We anoint you with oil and pray over when you ask for this to be done and ask for God to heal. Because God says to do it this way, and it could represent the Holy Spirit of God. It happened in Jesus' day. Let's turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 13. The disciples were sent out. We'll start in verse 12, Mark 6, verse 12. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So we know God works through that obedience of doing that. Be anointed with oil and God healed them. It's just a point of contact where people sense that God is coming upon them and they're healed. And the point is, we pray. And it's the prayer of faith that heals. But when you have this point of contact at times and different things, it's like your faith is strengthened. You know, God is in this. And it could just be a symbol like God is in coming upon you now. And that's why we do it this way. And God heals. So, and if you're inhibited and have a difficult time praying with or for other people, pray for boldness to speak out. And because it, you know, this is not only the pastor. It says call for the elders and people in each individual church that are serving in the church. And it tells us here that anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And in verse 15, where we'll start next week, it tells us, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. That's where we get into this situation of maybe this person was sick because of sin. But we'll pick it up in verse 15 and finish the chapter, God willing, next week. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for giving us grace and mercy. We thank you for teaching us on prayer today. Lord, you are powerful, all powerful. There is nothing that you can't do except lie. And Lord, we thank you that we are your children, that you're our doctor, our provider, our comfort, our peace, our refuge, our healer. We thank you that you're all things to us and for us. We pray this morning that we would be conditioned to pray and praise at all times. That we would just do it, Lord. Help us to get our eyes off of ourselves and our circumstances. And help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. And to keep that communication line open. Lord, just make us aware that you're there. You're always there. You never leave us or forsake us. And you are our hope because you can do anything. Let us rely on you. And when you answer, Lord, I pray we would be quick to give you the glory because it's you that does it. And Lord, when things don't work out the way we wanted them to work out, let us know your will was done. And let us rejoice in that because your way is better than our way. And we ask that our heart would be open to whatever way you want to work in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.